Hit it.
I think the title of this series is going to be called Women Destroy Science Fiction. Women destroy everything men enjoy. Because it's true, it's what they do. Anytime you see men doing something and enjoying themselves without women, women have to fucking weasel their way into it and fuck it up. Try going on meetup.com and look at how many groups there are only for women. Right? There's always women entrepreneurs and women business owners and networking for women and spiritual for women. There's all these groups out there only for women. But my God, if there's a place only for men, they scream, shout, whine, cry, and look for a fucking safe space. They show up in places they're not wanted and dig in their heels and scream victimhood. Don't forget the ever-present, the most likely third possibility, you are wrong and I am right. Go fuck yourself. Yes, I am the great one himself. I am the founder of Cynical Libertarian Society, CYNLIBSOC.com, on the motherfucking interwebs. I've been podcasting for 12 fucking years. This is stating the obvious. It is the weapons platform from which I launched a cruise missile on my intellect, homes in on destroyed student cut fucking status all around the world. Today, we are dropping things on the floor, but we are also, very specifically, destroying femistatist cunts who are attempting to destroy science fiction. This is the second in a series, and it will be the last. I was intending to get all this into one. We're going to wrap this up because I don't have a whole lot to go. But if you did not listen to the previous edition of Stating the Obvious, you probably want to go do that. But if you don't, I don't give a shit. I'm not the fucking dictator of ANCAP Dice. You can do whatever the fuck you want. I just don't want to hear your goddamn whining. But if you want to send me some whining, if you want to send me love mail, hate mail, naked pictures, whatever the fuck you want to send, you can send that to God. It's dog spelled backwards, God. It's CYNLIBSOC.com on the motherfucking interwebs. Today is the 25th of November, 2016, the year of our Lord, Hussein Obama. He who brought improved race relations, reduced the national deficit, brought peace to the land, ended all of the wars, closed Guantanamo Bay, and of course provided everybody with free health care, and of course reduced the deficit, because he is the Messiah. He is the Lord and Savior. He is half black, he is the first affirmative action president, and he is the second coming of Jesus Christ, unless, of course, you're a Jew, in which case he's the first coming. I came once. Anyway, that's what she said. Alright, anyway, we're bitching about... I'm bitching about how women have destroyed science fiction. Alright, so anyhow, in the last episode I played that clip. That was the introduction to the podcast. So then we go into the story. The story is about, of course, a woman, because God forbid the lead character be a male in any of these science fiction stories. And I'm going to start tracking this. I am going to, effective right now, as I go through the rest of the Travelcast stories, I am going to track how many are written by men and how many are written by women. And if any of them identify as they instead of he or she. And then, providing I can stand to listen to enough of the story, I'm going to track, is the main character male or female? And I will get back to you on all of this with actual, real numbers. Actual data. All right, so anyhow, that Drabblecast, that introduction, that was done, and then the story starts. The story is, of course, about a female. She's at college. Oh my God, she's at college, because, you know, college is like the most important thing ever. And again, so many of these stories revolve around college students, because, like, going to college is the most important thing you'll ever do in your life, especially if you're a fucking feminist, because you're really never going to accomplish anything in your life. I have to look this up. I have to confirm this. I heard on one of these podcasts, they're introducing the author. Her name was Kat. I think it was Kat something something. Anyway, I'm going to stalk her on the internet and find out. They said, in the introduction, they said that she has a PhD in young adult climate change literature. That's something, apparently, if this is true, I'm not saying it's true, I have not validated this information yet. Apparently, that is something you can get a PhD in. You want to talk about a fucking worthless degree, a degree that took no effort whatsoever to earn. You can have a PhD in nuclear physics, a PhD in math, a PhD in engineering, a PhD in medicine. But no, she has a PhD in young adult climate change literature. She couldn't even get a PhD in literature that's written for grown-ups, because the words are too big. She had to get a PhD in literature that's written for children. This is another sign of mental illness with women, is all of these women out there who like novels that are written for young adults. I'm making little air quotes. You can't see that because it's a podcast, but I'm doing it. Trust me. They're children's books. Now, I've read children's books. There was a series of children's books I read that was written by some evil anarchist-leaning guy, you know, about some child in a dystopian future and stuff like that. And I do not remember the name of it. I think there was more. It seems like there was more than one. In the control room is the lovely and adorable Randy. I forgot all about introducing Randy. You know she's there. She's being seen and not heard the way feminists ought to be. Actually, feminists shouldn't even be seen because most of them are fat and ugly. They should neither be seen nor heard. Anyhow, I read this children's book. I don't remember that much about it. I remember enjoying it because, of course, it shared a political philosophy that I share, which is the government is oppressive and freedom is what you should be striving for, and some other shit, right? And yeah, I listened to the audiobook versions of all three Hunger Games novels. I suffered through them. And the first one was pretty good. The second one was... And the third one was fucking terrible. But I listened to them because a friend of mine, a woman over the age of 40, this was before they were movies. This is when it first happened. She's like, I read the Hunger Games. I'm like, this thing where adult, again, air quotes are happening. There are air quotes going on right now. Adult women reading children's books. And there's this other chick I know. She's beautiful. Oh, she's so beautiful. She is just... Oh, she is... You hear about tens, but you don't really see them. She's like a 9.8. Oh, this woman, she is just... She's beautiful. I like reading young adult novels. She's too stupid to read a book written for grown-ups. When a woman tells you she likes young adult novels, that's what she's telling you. She's telling you that she is emotionally immature. Yeah, look, guys, I'm not... you know me. I am not this fucking paradigm of maturity. All humans are immature in some way or another. But my God, when you actively seek out and read books written for children, there's something fucking wrong with you. So we heard this introduction where Norm Sherman, the person who hosts and runs Drabblecast, talks about the glass ceiling and how women are oppressed and have only more men. And then there's all this thinly veiled analogy where he's saying, oh, men are oppressing these women and we just don't understand. And if we just white knight and beta male more, then they would be able to achieve the greatness they're capable of. But, oh, they just can't do anything because, you know, it's hashtag he for she. Women should be equal, but we men have to bring it to them, because God forbid feminists get off their fucking ass and go get their fucking equality, because that would involve them doing some fucking work. If a fucking feminist cunt got off her ass and walked across the room to go get her own fucking equality instead of having it brought to her, she might burn a fucking calorie or something, and then she'd have to eat 27 more fucking bonbons so she could rebuild that one fat cell. So he does his introduction. We launch into the story, written by a woman, of course, featuring a main character who is a woman. The woman is in college because going to college is the center of a woman. I'm going to go to college. I'm going to get a PhD, and I'm going to study Latin American studies and international communications, because I want to graduate from college and I want to instantly become the CEO of a corporation, because I shouldn't have to earn it. I shouldn't have to like pay any dues, or that is so 1980, paying dues. I should just be given the CEO-ship of a corporation, because I'm so strong and independent and I have a vagina, and if you don't just give me whatever I want because I have a vagina, well, then you're sexist. Like, oh my God, like totally like sexist. And so like, I'm going to take a picture of my cleavage and like, I'm going to put it on Instagram, and like, if you don't like my cleavage picture on Instagram, then you're like sexist. All right. So this bimbo is going to college, and she has to go off as part of her college experience. She has to go to another planet with a different species, and she has to work. She has to do a fucking job. Oh my fucking God. She has to work. She has to work in a grocery store where she might have to pick up some heavy objects. Let's listen to this short excerpt from the story, and then we can laugh together. Okay, hang on. Randy, are you set? Second one, second sound clip.
Rhonda's heart sank. I took a 20,000 won loan for this. My chances can't come down to my upper body strength. Isn't there some work that's less physical?
Exactly. She took out a loan to go to college. And now it's like, oh, you have to, oh, but I have to use upper body strength. Is there a job I can do that doesn't involve me having to do any work? But oh, but you're so equal to a man. Oh, there's so much equality. Oh. And no, and then this is the story during the fucking Women and Aliens month, where everybody who gets published is a fucking woman author based solely on the fact that they're women. But there's this woman in this story. Oh my God, I can't do this. I have to lie upper body strength. Ah. To those of you who are girls, who are women, who are ladies, I'm sorry, but you're not equal to me. Until you can pick up a heavy object, you're not my equal. Shut up. To those of you who are femistatist, you're not my equal, not just because you can't pick up a heavy object, but because you constantly play the fucking victim card. Because actual women, right, girls, women, ladies, they get things that they want, and they know how to do this, because they know how to be cute. And we men are stupid, right? I've talked about this before. Remember, I need to find this clip. Married with Children, TV show. Remember, many years ago, Kelly Bundy and Bud Bundy, they're at like some kind of event, whatever, and they're talking, whatever. And Kelly Bundy says to Bud, yeah, here, let me show you how things work. And she walks up to some random guy and she like does her cleavage in his face. And she's like, can I have your ring or your money or your watch or something? And he just like, he gives it to her. She takes it and just throws it away. And she turns around and she says to Bud, this is all you need to understand. She says, all men are stupid. All women are sluts. And that's a little of a simplification, but only a little bit. See, women who are sexually attractive, women who have pleasant personalities, women who are nice people, they don't need the victim card because they can get what they want from men. Because men, I'm a man, I know this, we men, we like women who are pretty and pleasant and nice. If you're a girl and you're pretty and you're nice to me and you're pleasant to be around, I'll give you all kinds of shit. Why? Because we're men and we like that and we're really fucking stupid, right? So when some girl you know who's cute and adorable and pretty calls you at 3 o'clock in the morning and says, I'm stranded, could you come pick me up? You're like, okay, fine. And you're doing it because she's cute. And because you're thinking you might be able to bang her. Whether you're banging her or not, that's in our minds. Trust me on this. I'm a man. I know. If you're a woman and I am talking to you, it's because I'm intending to have sex with you. Okay? If I'm not interested in having sex with you, I'm not going to talk to you unless I absolutely have to. If I am talking to you of my own free will, it means at the very least, I am interested in the possibility of having sex with you. I'm talking to you to find out if I want to have sex with you, okay? That's sexist, that's racist, whatever. It's a fucking fact, okay? Men like women who are cute and pleasant and nice. And if you're a woman and you're cute and pleasant and nice, you can get pretty much anything you want. But femistatist, well, they don't have that going for them. They're not cute, they're not pleasant, they're not nice, and on top of that, they don't have talent. You can be a woman who's not cute, pleasant, nice, but if you have talent, if you can write a good story, then your story will get published, despite everything else, if your story is good. But these femistatist cunts, they're not cute, they're not pleasant, they're not nice, and they don't have talent. And so it's victim card. Victim card, victim card, victim card. It's fucking victim card. All the fucking way down. Victim card. All the fucking way down. And they are destroying science fiction and horror the same way they destroyed the NFL. Okay, I have here a book called The Hatching. Wait, this is written by Ezekiel Boone, who appears from the photograph to be a man, but you should never assume somebody's a man because they look like a man, because that's transphobic. This person is a social justice warrior. This guy is a fucking beta male. This guy is a beta male all the fucking way down. So I've got this book. I am 74 pages into a book, which is 334 pages. It's supposed to be a book about spiders killing people. Okay? 74 pages in, we've had two scenes in which spiders killed people with these sort of, you know, this sort of the way you do in the movie, the way you show things in the shadows and nobody really sees them. That's how it is in the book. Nothing's really happened. So far, it's a bunch of people talking. It's 74 fucking pages. All right, it's 2 pages of spiders killing people, 72 pages of people talking about their feelings. Because Ezekiel, he may look like a man, but he's a fucking woman. Okay, I'm going to read some of this to you, and we're going to laugh. You're going to laugh. I'm going to laugh. This is fucking laughable. This is a horror book. Okay, I am reading a horror book to read horror things. I do not want to hear about your fucking feelings. I don't want to hear about feminism. I don't want to hear about diversity. I don't want to hear about tolerance. I don't want to hear about your fucking feelings. I want to read about spiders killing people and people trying to avoid getting killed by spiders. That's why I'm reading the fucking book. And drinking my beer. Okay, where are we at? Trying to figure out where to start this. Newcomb, she said, blah, blah, blah. The president reached out and put her hand on the intern's forearm. Now, if it was a male president putting his hand on the forearm of a female intern, it would probably be sexual harassment. But when it's a female president, this is okay. How about you go get us a big bowl of popcorn or something? Maybe some chips and salsa. All this talk of war is making me feel a bit peckish. Come on, Steph, Manny said. You're not taking this seriously. I'm the President of the United States of America, Manny, and you will address me appropriately, she said, smiling. President Steph to you. And how am I supposed to take this seriously? It's an exercise. And I'm a feminist. I don't exercise, because if I exercised, I might burn a fat cell. Okay, blah, 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 blah. Manny didn't say anything. He'd known Stephanie Pilgrim long enough to know she didn't want an answer. Known her back when they were young and dumb and undergraduates. He was a freshman, and she was a senior, and she went by Steph, not Madam President. And she liked to torture him in certain inappropriate moments by telling him she wasn't wearing panties under her skirt. So she had to, you know, go after the freshmen when she was a senior because the men her own age and older didn't want anything to do with her. If you're a woman and you're attractive and older men aren't willing to have sex with you, that's a big indicator that there's something wrong with you. Not that she was particularly promiscuous. Well, no, of course not. Feminists are never promiscuous. Now, men are all rapists. But feminists, they would never be promiscuous. Even then, she was careful about watching her reputation. She was already planning to be in the spotlight. Yes, I'm sure she had an Instagram account and everything. And saying, oh my God, one day I am going to so be in the spotlight. I'm going to be President Steph. Because like, oh my God, that's like why I'm studying. And like, I'm majoring in international relations and political science. Because like, oh my God, I'm going to be in the spotlight. But they had clicked immediately, and she had not only been attracted to him, she had trusted him, which means that he was so fucking beta male that she was not even slightly worried that he would look at another woman or ever lie to her or do anything without her permission. They hadn't exactly dated. They just, you know, hooked up and randomly fucked. But she wasn't actually going to date him. She saved her dating for other men who had more money than he did. But before Manny met and married Melanie, he and Steph had a sort of understanding that went beyond their professional working relationship. They'd come to that understanding again since things imploded with him and Melanie. Well, not imploded. Now remember, this is a horror novel. This is a novel about spiders killing people. Okay, this is horror. This is spiders killing people. Just keep that in mind. Okay, this is horror. Are you terrified yet? Because I am. Dissolved was a better word. But finding himself free and uninterested in dating, because he's a beta male and he's terrified to talk to women and because he's a white knight. And oh my God, if I look at a woman, I'm raping her. And I just have so much respect for women that I'm not going to ask a woman to date me because, oh my God, that would not be respectful of her personhood and she might feel oppressed. And with Steph having to be careful about maintaining the illusion that she was in a happy marriage, because, you know, she's strong and independent and you go girl, but she has to maintain the illusion she's in a happy marriage because the patriarchy will not let her just randomly fuck any men she wants. It had been easy to fall back into their old pattern of occasionally sleeping together. So just so you're clear, Steph is the president of the United States, and Manny is her one of her advisors. They're both of them are married to other people, but they're fucking each other. Now, when Donald Trump talks about grabbing pussy, he's a rapist. But when these two people, who are, of course, we know, liberal Democrats, are cheating on their spouses, that's totally okay. See, that's okay. Because remember, it's not rape if you're a Muslim or a Democrat. It's not cheating if you're a Democrat. It's not infidelity if you're a Democrat. It's not lying if you're a Democrat. It's not breaking your vows if you're a Democrat. For him, there'd been a bit of guilt. The guilt wasn't about Steph. They were attracted to each other, reasonably decent in bed, and loved each other, even if they weren't in love with each other. They respected each other and liked each other and didn't have any secrets from each other. I'm getting Twitter painted. The spiders are going to show up any minute now, right? Because this is a horror book. There's going to be some spiders eating some people. Oh, wait, but first, we have to get our dose of social justice. It gets worse. Trust me, it gets worse. Hang in there. Neither of them was going to end up hurt. Right, so they weren't going to end. Never mind the people they're married to, they're cheating on. What's important is that Manny and Steph aren't going to get hurt. You know, fuck Manny's wife, fuck Steph's husband. You know, who gives a shit about them, right? What's important is Manny and Steph, because they're liberal Democrats and they're so compassionate and they're being oppressed all their lives by the patriarchy. And oh my God, they have victim cards. I have a victim card. Oh, look at me. I have a victim card. No, Manny felt bad about George. He genuinely liked Steph's husband. He liked Steph's husband so much that he was fucking Steph's husband's wife. That's how much he liked Steph's husband. Again, don't get me wrong. I have no problem with fucking married women. But I'm not a social justice warrior. I don't claim any kind of moral high ground. I don't pretend I am better than the rest of you, but I don't pretend I'm better. I'm better than I am. I am better than the rest of you, but I don't run around pretending I'm better than the rest of you because I am better than the rest of you. The reason I'm better than the rest of you is because I stand here and I tell you, I will fuck a married woman. I'm not going to lie about it. Dr. George Hitchens was a nice guy. He was certainly an asset when it came to electability. Yes, you see, he's just an asset. He's not a person. He's an asset that helped get Steph elected president because Steph is a feminist. And when you're a feminist, everybody else, they're just something you use to get what you want. They're not people. Her husband is not a person. No, he's an asset for electability. Handsome and well-spoken, content to let Steph do her thing in the political arena, content to be a politician's husband. He was blue blood, old money from Texas, so she married him because he had money. Again, she's using him for his money. Smart enough to go to an Ivy League university and graduate from medical school without having to pull any strings, or at the very least, without having to pull them hard enough that they unraveled in embarrassing ways. You know, unlike the people who went to medical school and graduated because they fucking earned it. Everybody's got a victim card. He'd practiced as a dermatologist. Sorry, I suppose dermatology is like a real profession, but when I think about dermatology, I think, well, you have acne. Here, you need to wash your face twice a day. Well, do I need prescription? No, you use soap and water. Well, but washing my face is gross. That's why you have that. Right. So I get it. Now, dermatology, it's a real thing. There are actual skin diseases and skin cancer and stuff. But when someone says dermatologist, the first thing I think is pimples. He practiced as a dermatologist right up until Steph won the big one. Since they'd gotten to the White House, he'd jumped feet first into being the first hubby, as the press liked to call him. Oh, that's so cute. He's the first hubby. He could cut a ribbon with the best of them. He was as close to a dream husband as a female politician could have. You know, other than the part where the female politician isn't fucking another man. Anyhow, I'm sure the spiders are going to show up any moment. Because this is a horror novel about spiders. I'm sure the spiders, they're probably on the next page. That was the problem, though. Stephanie loved George. And I'm not joking. Until just now, I thought this book was written by a woman. That's why when I looked at the name on here, and it's Ezekiel Boone, that's why I had to find the dust cover to look at the picture. I'm sitting here, because I don't pay attention to whether a book or a story or whether it's written by a man or a woman. I don't. That's not what I judge on. It's like, does it look interesting? The book looked interesting from the blurb on the cover. I'm like, oh, okay. I'm going to read this book. And I get into it, and I'm reading this shit, and I'm going, this was written by a fucking woman. And it turns out it's not written by a woman. It's written by a fucking white knight social justice warrior beta male. Stephanie loved George, but only in the way that you love somebody who is decent and good and whom you've known for 15 years. She loved him, but she wasn't in love with him. Never had been. The politician had married him, not the woman. In other words, she married him because she could use him to get political office. Hold on. A woman marrying a man she's not in love with to use him to get power and money. Does that sound like anybody we know? Does that sound like anybody who might have run for president of the United States in the year 2016? It's Hillary Clinton! You see, this is a very thinly veiled attempt by this white knight beta male to lick Hillary Clinton's ass. The politician married him, not the woman. Probably if she'd gone into a different kind of career, done something other than pursue law school as the shortest route to politics than the presidency, she would have already divorced George. But that wasn't an option now. No, because she had to stay married to him, keep using him as a fucking resource and a tool for her own personal aspirations of power, because she's too much of a coward to just get a fucking divorce. She's strong and independent, she can do anything she wants, but she's too much of a fucking coward to get a goddamn divorce. Manny was not a modest man when it came to his talents. He was a straight-out fucking genius in the political sphere. And although Stephanie Pilgrim was a machine, effortlessly attractive and likable, smart and witty, good background, better luck, fierce and determined, even Manny knew there were limits. Oh my God, she is so effortlessly attractive. She's likable, she's smart, she's witty, she's got good back and better luck, she's fierce and determined, but she's not woman enough to just get a fucking divorce. Oh no, no, she'd rather just keep on using this guy for a fucking stepping stone. Why? Because she cares about poor people so much. Oh my God, she cares. She so cares. Oh my guy. She's so strong and independent, and she cares. Oh, she's fit, she's fabulous, and she's fine, and she's 40. Oh my God. All right. Nobody had given her a serious chance when she declared, kind of like Donald Trump. There will never be a Donald Trump presidency. The spiders are going to show up any moment now. Remember, this is a horror book, not about feminism. It's a horror book about spiders. Nobody had given her a serious chance when she declared, much like Donald Trump. But Manny had hit it out of the park, and here he was, the White House chief of staff. If they wanted to stay in power, however, Stephanie was going to have to do what she'd gotten good at. Spreading her legs for men she's not married to? Oh, no, wait, sorry, that's not what she's good at. And that was walking the razor's edge between being female and being president of the United States. Because, you see, she's gender neutral. Sometimes she's a woman, and sometimes she's the president. I can't be both at once, because, you know, oh my God, I might have hormones. The country might have been ready for a woman president. Might have been ready for that woman president to be 42 and the youngest commander-in-chief ever elected, beating Teddy Roosevelt by a measly 4 days. Might even be ready to re-elect the same woman after 3 solid years of economic growth and peace, but they sure as hell weren't ready to re-elect a woman in the middle of a divorce. Again, this is the fucking femistatist fantasy. Yes, see, just like these fucking little femistatist cunts, they think, I'm going to go to college, I'm going to major in Latino studies and communications, I'm going to graduate, I'm going to be 22 years old, and I'm going to instantly become a CEO. No, there's nobody who's 42 years old, man or woman, is going to get elected president. Now that I've said that, how old was Obama when he got elected? Did I just embarrass myself? All right, bring up Google, find out how old fucking Obama was. Nobody is going to elect children to be the president of the United States. No fucking 42-year-old woman. And then, of course, well, she's had 3 years of economic peace and progress. Again, I've explained this before. The president of the United States does not control the economy. This whole thing where people think, and again, it doesn't matter who it helped. 47, really? Damn. So Obama was 47 when he was elected. All right. But then again, as I've said before, and you don't have to like him, I don't like him. Obama had an excellent campaign staff. Obama had a plan. He had a vision. He had good communication skills. You know, it's very obvious why Obama was able to win the presidency. He and the people he surrounded himself with were very good at marketing, very good at creating a message, very good at getting the word out, right? He was very good at campaigning. So this is the whole femistatist fantasy, right? You're going to go to college and come out of college and instantly just get this big, important job because you're so amazing. Nobody's going to elect a 42-year-old woman to be president of the United States. And then it's like, oh, we had 3 years of economic prosperity. That has nothing to do with you. The president of the United States, no matter who it is, does not control the economy, right? When the economy sucks, or everybody says, well, it's the president's fault. But it's actually not. Okay, as I've explained before, the economy is the actions and inactions, not just of every person in the United States, but every person on the planet. Because what happens in China affects the United States. What happens in Mexico affects the United States. No one person controls all of that. All right, and then there's some stuff here, blah, blah, blah. And then there is... I'm skipping some shit now. Wait. Then, of course, all the men around her, all the men who are... the other men who are her advisors are all idiots, of course. And they're rude and they're obnoxious. And, oh, here we go. Then the national security advisor is Alexandra Harris. See, now, her national security advisor... Let's see, where does it go? So again, all the men are just this, other than Mandy, who's fucking her. All the other men, like, here we go. The Secretary of Defense, Billy Cannon, never had a problem with interrupting Manny. Well, who appointed Billy Cannon to be Secretary of Defense? Oh, President Steph did. So if Billy Cannon's such an asshole, well, he got the job because he got nominated by the stupid cunt. Right, and then the intern comes back with the food, and they're like, "Oh my God, the intern did such a great job. He kept the Pepsi in." Wait, let's see. For sliding the snacks in front of the president, the fact that he remembered that Steph liked her soda in a can, despite the White House staff's determination to serve it to her in cut crystal, there was a particular skill that Manny thought. In knowing how to keep the people around you happy while still blending into the background. The intern's name was Tim or Thomas or something like that, and Manny made a note to see about keeping the kid on. So, yes, Tim or Thomas, he's such a great intern because nobody knows his name, and he blends into the background, but he brings President Steph her soda still in the can instead of pouring it in a glass. Can you get any more fucking beta male than that? Can you get any more fucking beta male? Then nobody around you knows your name, but you're so good at serving them. Kind of like, you know, back in the South when we owned slaves. We had lots of slaves. We didn't know their names, but they were really good at picking that fucking cotton. Oh, the Enlightenment. Oh, the fucking social justice warrior fucking Enlightenment. I sure am glad I'm reading this horror novel about spiders killing people and being enlightened by the social justice warriorism of this fucking moron, Ezekiel Boone, who may or may not be a man, because we can't judge based on the photo what this individual's gender is, because that would be transphobic. Anyhow, Billy Cannon is some more of an asshole. And then, National Security Advisor Alexandra Harris rose partially off her seat and snagged a few tortilla chips. Because, you know, that's really important in the story arc here. Before the spiders kill somebody, I really need to know, did the National Security Advisor eat some fucking tortilla chips or not? This is some critical fucking shit here. She didn't bother with the salsa. Oh, good for her. She's so strong and independent. Manny liked Alex. Yeah, because he knows what's good for him. And even though they're often at odds on what to do with the information she brought to the president, he thought she'd been one of the best appointments Steph made because she's a woman and I'm a beta male. Alex was smart, fierce, and loyal. And whatever her opinion, he was going into a fight. Whatever her opinion was, as soon as the president made a decision, she was completely on board. So, Alexandra Harris, we're going to put Jews in concentration camps. Okay, I'm totally okay with that, because I have no morals or anything of my own. Like, I'm just here to lick your ass, President Steph, because I'm so strong and independent. You didn't get to these heights without an acute sense of political survival and the kind of driving ambition you could see from outer space. But as far as Manny could tell, God, they're so strong and independent! This is like the beta male handbook. The kind of driving ambition you could see from outer space. Okay, but as far as Manny could tell, Alex was exactly where she wanted to be. She never tried to subvert the president. Besides, Alex was 73. Too late for a presidential run of her own.
Oh, you mean old women are worthless?
Okay, then there's more stuff about how men are evil and shit like that. Okay, so anyhow, so then we move on, we do some other stuff. All right, here we go. No, there's more. Oh, there's more. God, this is taking longer than I thought. Jesus, this episode's almost over. I totally thought I was going to blow through all of this in like 15 minutes. Shows you what the fuck I know. All right. Oops. Did I fuck that up? Probably. Okay. Okay, gotta take a deep breath. This, let's see, how far do I have to go on this? And da, 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 da. All right. I have to collect myself. Okay, here we go. Lance Corporal Kim Bach checked her rifle again. She knew there wasn't any point, but this was the first time she was leading her unit in a live fire exercise. Now, how you made it to Lance Corporal in the Marine Corps without leading somebody in a live fire exercise, I don't know, unless it could have been, I don't know, affirmative action, maybe? By the way, if you're new to the podcast, I was in the military 3 years, United States Army. Not a fucking file clerk. Light infantry. 10th Mountain Division. Fucking rapid deployment force. Done live fires. Used explosives. Blowing shit up. Great one. Did you ever kill anybody? Not that you know about. Checking her M16 calmed her down. She'd trained with the M16A2 in basic, but she'd been issued the M16A4 when she made it out to California. There wasn't much difference between the two rifles as far as she was concerned, at least not when she's out on the range. She did like that she could remove the carrying handle when they were in the middle of exercises. I don't know what the fuck that has to do with spiders killing people, but hopefully the spiders will show up soon. She was crouching and trying to relax. The sun was a motherfucker, but it was okay in the shade. She'd played catcher on her high school softball team, and thus we know she's a lesbian, and she could stay in a crouch for a long time without getting uncomfortable. Oh, I bet she could. But the three men in her unit were sitting down on the concrete slab. Private First Class Elroy Trotter had his eyes closed, and for all Kim knew, Elroy might actually be sleeping. He never seemed to get excited one way or the other. The joke was that while having sex, Elroy probably looked bored. The person who first made that joke, Private Duran Edwards, was a black kid from Brooklyn who was a lot smarter than any of the other officers seemed to recognize. And Kim was glad Duran was in her unit. Yes, you see, the black people, they're way smarter, but because all the white officers are so racist, see, they don't recognize how smart he is. At first, she had a bit of a thing for the third man, Private Hammett Mitz Frank. But having him in her unit was like pouring water on a fire. Only smoke remained. She could see how the two of them might have ended up a couple in civilian life, but as part of a unit, it was different. And no, it's not. A woman's biology does not get overridden by jobs. If she really wanted to fuck him, nothing would stop her from fucking him. They were a team. She was lucky. The whole crew was cool. None of them seemed to think it was a big deal that a woman was the fire team leader. Well, no, because they're all millennials, and they've all been brainwashed, and none of them can fucking think. She knew that early on, remember, this is a horror novel about spiders killing people. Okay, we're on page 50. Spiders ain't showed up yet. She knew that early on, when the armed forces first started slotting women into combat units, there'd been some blowback. Because, you know, all those racist, sexist, homophobic white men who actually earned their leadership positions, well, they were pissed off because of affirmative action was just handing out promotions to females only because they had vaginas, kind of like the way podcasts just hand out production to and production and publishing to females because they have vaginas. There'd been a couple of high-profile incidents in the Army, but even in the Marines, it hadn't been all sweetness. Kim had been in middle school when women were given equal status, though it wasn't recent enough that some of the older generation still hadn't adjusted to Marines with tits in the line of fire. So if these women have equal status, does that mean they can be drafted just like men can? If women are equal to men in the military, does that mean there are no exemptions of going to war for women who are pregnant or have children? I bet that's not how it is. But see, equality means women get special privileges when you're a feminist. Elroy, Duran, and Mitz were her age, though, and they'd gone through boot camp with her. Maybe they secretly didn't love the idea of taking combat orders from a woman in general, but since it was her, they were okay with it. They'd probably have adopted but it really didn't matter. They knew they trusted her to keep him safe. They trusted her to keep them safe. Where's the good part where then she loved, oh my god. Hang on. Randy, we may have to go a little bit long. Just hold the fucking closing music. I have to find this. Blah, blah, blah. Small. Ah, here it is. The three men scrambled to their feet while Kim rose from her crouch. Her crouch. Oh my god. And they all put their hands in, making a small pile of different shades of skin. Different shades of skin. It's diversity. That's what's, it doesn't matter if you can shoot your rifle and hit what you're aiming at. What matters is diversity. I just want some spiders to show up and fucking kill some people. Can I just get some spiders to kill some people? Can I stop hearing about feelings and tolerance and diversity and how racist and sexist and homophobic I am? Can I just get some fucking spiders to kill some people? That's all I fucking want.